Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. It is April 18th, 2017. Today, I do not have a guest. To be honest, I thought I'd just leave a day open so that people could call in. I posted this up on Twitter and up on Facebook. The number is 718-717-8106 if anybody would like to give me a call. Otherwise, I'm going to talk to you about what is on my mind, because there's a lot of things that are going unsaid and a lot of things that we are not even hearing about. And especially in like the nuclear world, you know, we're talking about Turkey Point, which is near Mar-a-Lago, where our president spends a lot of time. You'd think that he would be aware. He lives in New York City near Indian Point. You'd think he'd be aware of that. Evidently, these guys are counting on that nothing bad's going to happen and that it's all going to be all right, even though yesterday. Hold on, here's a call from somebody who wants to join us. Hold on. Good morning. You're on the air with Lonnie Clark of the Age of Vision Radio Show. Hello? Hello? So I can't hear who is our guest. I look like their phone number is in. Looks like they're in on the call, but I cannot see them. So I'm going to hang them up. If you want to call back, you can. I can't hear you. Do you have your phone on mute? Okay, they hung up, so maybe they'll try again. So let's try this again. Back to Turkey Point, because we love talking about nuclear spills. Okay, well, let's see what we can go here. I think someone's trying to call in again. And let's see. Hold on one second. I think this is going to put the show on hold. I'm going to answer it, and we'll try it again. Maybe I can call them back. About that, that's always a good idea. That always seems to work whenever I do that. So the call failed. Here we go. Let's see if we can get through to them. How about that? I'll try that again. I'm going to get back to talking about Turkey Point because I think that's pretty important. Let's see. Let's give them a call, see what happens when I tried to call them right back.
Land Restoration, this is Chuck speaking. Sorry I missed your call. Leave me a message.
Oh, that was Chuck.
Yep.
Hey, Chuck, are you there? Okay, Chuck, this is Lonnie. I tried to give you a call back. I saw you tried to call into the radio show, so we'll just hang up. Okay, then. Let's just get going back on this whole idea about Mar-a-Lago. Chuck, if you're out there and you want to give us a call back, I tried to call you. Maybe I'll try it again and give you just a little baby second. Maybe you'll answer. I don't know if that was intentional. That would be sweet. I haven't talked to Chuck in quite a while. It'd be nice to talk to him. Let's see if we can add him in. Try it one more time. So we call the All-American Try, right? Keep going until we don't hear our, we have our yes, we have our no. So let's see if this will work if we get his message machine one more time. And if not, thank you for your patience, you guys, listening to me hassle with this technology thing. Anybody who listens to my show knows I'm not like a technology person. That's the way it is. I don't think I can get through to Chuck. Doesn't seem to be working. So I'm going to hang up on that. Let me try this one more time. Hold on, you guys. I have a feeling I'm going to disconnect this when I'm trying to do this. Me and technology, not so much. Okay, I did hang up on us. So let's get back to what we know. Turkey regulators inspecting FPL's Turkey Point plant after small explosion. This happened in March 22nd, 2017. They had a small explosion and nobody's doing anything. So here is Chuck again. Let's see if we can add this call. Let's love perseverance. Good morning. You're speaking with Lonnie Clark of the Age of Fission Radio Show. Hi, you guys, again. This is Lonnie. So that was Chuck Hyman trying to give us a call. Let me see if I can just add him into the group call. Just trying to call about that. Seems to go backwards. I have no idea what happens with this Skype venue, but it is not friendly with people calling in, I guess. Here's Chuck. We're trying to call him.
Hello, Lonnie.
Yay, here you are, Chuck. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice.
That never fails. Some reason I can't, well, as soon as you bring me in, call gets dropped.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what we call perseverance brings success. So thank you for joining us. What draws you to call the show?
Just an open topic this morning, right?
It sure is. Open topic. Free to talk about whatever you want, as long as you can take the heat.
We know the heat's not that bad yet.
No, it's not. It's not. It's actually not. They're just warming up, man. So I don't know. I actually think we're being super manipulated and super played. But what else is new in the United States of America? So I don't know. So, Chuck, you've been on the show. It's been a little while since you've been on the show. So can I just ask you, I'm dying to ask you because I know that you were a Trump supporter. Do you like his performance so far?
As far as his ruling with the EPA, you better believe I do.
You do? Yeah. Don't you think that he should have, instead of gutting the EPA, they should actually make it better? Clean house top to bottom?
Got to tear it down to rebuild it.
I don't know if he can tear it down. I don't know if that works when you have a big, gigantic structure, though, if he can tear it down. I mean, if they could I think one thing that they should do is just cut off all corporate contact to the EPA. I think that's what needs to happen is corporate contacts. I mean, I think we need to cut out private industry from having private contracts with the government. I think we need to stop having subcontractors. I think that would help a lot.
Got to understand, I've been in the crosshairs, and there's too many piranhas in that office. You got to tear it down to rebuild it.
So you're kind of in the wait and see mode still. Let's see what they do with it. It's kind of too new, in other words.
Well, I've been trying to reach out, and I've got others that are reaching out with what's going on, and everything he's doing right now, people just need to give him more time. He's got his hands full on a lot of different issues, and this EPA, it needed to be tore down. It needed to be needs to be gutted out and redone. I mean, that's pretty bad when you've got a totally natural product business and the EPA comes after you and wants you to make a pesticidal label for everything. They just try to shut down a natural business.
Do you think that that's going to change with Trump?
It's all about education. And right now, everything's got to be talked about. We've got too many issues, and that EPA is out of control. When you've got farmers building ponds on their own property and get jailed for building a pond and putting fish in it for their own recreational use, EPA went way too far.
Hey, Chuck, you're speaking to the choir here. I'm no big fan of the EPA. We call them every polluter's advocate, right? So, I mean, I'm with you that something has to be done, but I am anxious about the regulations where he's allowing people just to willy-nilly start dumping into our rivers and into our oceans. The lack of regulation and oversight on for the big polluters, that makes me nervous. It's not like he set up a system that could do a backup, you know, like just offhandedly just say, okay, now you guys can start dumping your waste into the rivers and into the air. Go ahead. That makes me nervous.
It is an educational curve. He's going to have to learn just like everybody else. There's consequences for every movement.
Well, you know what I have to say? I think he's not using the best tool that he's got, and that's his wife. I love his wife, and I wish she could be president. I love her attitude, and I love her just calm, like her just like, you know, I'm just going to do it. And to me, she's a real American. I find that she's even more American than he is. Like yesterday, he forgot to put his hand over the heart. She's like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't think about it. He's too busy thinking about himself. But I agree with you. He has a learning curve, and we're in. There's no getting out of it. So we've got to have a different, you know, we've got to have some patience here with this guy. So you are right about that. I mean, you know, I will grant you this. Part of my resistance to him is just this knee-jerk response to him, because I haven't liked him for a long time since he was on the Howard Stern show, and I know him to be a misogynistic abuser who beat up his wife. So I have lots of prejudice against men who mistreat women, but you know, I don't think he's changed, but the fact is he is who we have as president, and that doesn't mean that he can't do something, create something out of the chaos that he's causing. So maybe there is going to be some order coming in.
He inherited a big chaos.
He's bringing in the wrecking ball cabinet here. He's not like replacing things in a timed manner. It's obvious he has the big structure of we need to shake it up, but he doesn't have the foundation of he doesn't have a plan of how he's going to shake it up. And I heard him say the other day that he has told the military generals, like, he's not going to oversee them. Go do what you need to do, and I trust you're doing it right. And I actually tweeted him on this one. I think he's shirking his responsibility. It's the job of the president to oversee the military and to make sure that our generals are headed in the right direction. You can't just give them a free hand. I disagree with that 100%. And Mad Dog Mattis is the guy who created Fallujah. So I don't trust him at all. So I have big issues with who he has leading our military. But it is who we have leading our country. It's what it is. And I don't believe in, like, I don't know, biting your fingernails and being all anxious and spewing out more hate. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need that. So, but I'm concerned about the Mar-a-Lago. Like, I think this thing down there, I'm surprised that nobody has talked to him about Indian Point. Because Indian Point is right up the road from him, and it is still having big issues. And it is still pouring out thousands of gallons of contaminated waste right into the Atlantic. It's pretty toxic, so.
Just like the Turkey down there in Florida.
That's what I mean, Turkey Point. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And no one's talking about it.
We've got Indian Point and we've got Turkey Point both dumping.
both at exponentially big amounts of radioactivity pouring in. I mean, it's almost as if these nuclear catastrophes, they just consider them, well, it's not that bad because we know that we're being contaminated. That's just the way it is. You know, we just have to learn to deal with it or whatever. It's almost as if they want us to ignore it. I'm so dumbfounded by this. I mean, like them moving the kids back into Fukushima 7 miles away from where the power plants are. These, to me, these are crimes against humanity.
Oh, we've still got Chernobyl evacuation zone, and where that's many, many years later, and Fukushima's all worse than Chernobyl, and it just, the whole ordeal with Fukushima being silenced and misrepresented and misguided is astonishing.
Yes, it is astonishing. It is actually astonishing because when you think about it, like, we're going to have our Olympics there. They're building a building out of reclaimed wood from Fukushima, and they're going to have surfing right off the coast of Japan. It's like,
no,
really?
But they're using all the contaminated soil to all go back into the soil where they're building. They're reusing all of the soil bags and contaminated soil, and they're relaying it all back out through the territory.
Wow. Are they really?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just mixing it back in with all the dirt. I guess they figure the solution to dilution is the pollution is dilution. They're mixing it in with the good stuff.
We know that it doesn't.
Wow.
We know that we've got serious issues, but it's all part of the ongoing saga of Fukushima.
This is the thing. The evacuation zone in Chernobyl is 1,000 miles. And yet we're moving people back into Fukushima at 7 miles in, and there's no outcry. I mean, that's the thing that I just don't get, how we're just supposed to accept it because the Japanese government decided that nobody can object. And if they object, they have to pay the government. Or, I mean, there's all kinds of fines imposed. It's stunning, man. So, Chuck, well, since I have you on the air, I want to talk to you about the microbes. Would you tell people again how to find the microbes? I know you. I should apologize for not introducing you. This is Chuck Hyman with Mid-America Restoration. Is that correct?
Mid-America Land Restoration.
Land. Thank you. One of these days I will remember the whole thing. But I definitely recommend your website. You know, remember how I left my microbes out in the rain, in the snow, and you said that they froze and they weren't any good? They must have been really good because I decided, because it cost me so much, I thought I'd just use it again. But I think the microbes survived because my plants, when I poured them on after the freeze, like, I still have a full garden and they're totally thriving. They perked back up and almost doubled in size when I put the microbes post the winter storm on them.
Well, if they didn't freeze completely solid, that's the difference.
Oh, okay. So maybe that is what happened. Maybe I saved them.
So.
But they are awesome. I mean, honestly, I have a full garden post winter. I didn't even put it in. And frankly, the more I think about it, I'm one of my projects in the spring is to build a year-round greenhouse because my plants are being rained on. I'm super nervous about the radioactive rain. But you know what? All of my plants have thrived. Like, I have lettuce, I have kale, I have garlic, I have cilantro. I have something else that I don't remember what the guy told me it was. It's some kind of a leafy green lettuce type thing that's actually thriving. I mean, I have like a 9x9 garden and all the vegetables in there are super thriving. So I can't say enough about your microbes. I mean, anybody that wants to add to their garden ought to contact.
Especially for somebody that tried to kill them all off.
I know. But I will tell you what, like, it's a bit pricey. The product itself is pretty inexpensive. It's the shipping that's expensive, but even that, it's worth it because they have survived and thrived through the winter. You know what I mean? And I think this is really the way we have to go. And do you know about this story that I had heard? And I haven't been able to confirm it, but I have heard that they are using microbes at Hanford.
when I called out there here a year or two ago, and actually got to talk to some of them, they were playing with minute microbe. And why I say minute, what you've got there, Lonnie, with me is 125 different species. And what they're playing with are one and two, maybe three, four species at most.
Wow.
So, you know, they feel that working in the microbial is too costly. So they're just playing with different small counts.
It's too costly. Yeah. That is hilarious. They're wasting trillions of dollars and it's too costly.
Mm-hmm.
That is astounding that they could even give that, say those words out of their mouth. That's completely astounding.
They got an education from me, and I haven't ever heard back from them, so I guess they didn't like the truth.
Take a number, huh? Well, mm-hmm. You know, Rick Perry is the new head of the that of all things, Chuck, I don't know how, I mean, to me, I just cannot, this is where I just cannot abide Trump's wrecking ball cabinet. Rick Perry is the head of the Department of Energy is like the worst offense. I mean, he oversaw one of the worst nuclear spills in Texas, and he then immediately, when he doesn't get reelected, sits on the board of the company that spilt the radioactivity, and now he's overseeing the DOE. I mean, it's just, it's incomprehensible what's, I mean, frankly, what's happening is, in my view, Trump is gutting our government in much the same fashion that Nixon gutted the burgeoning democracies in South America and installed bureaucratic authoritarianism effectively. And that's exactly what Trump is doing. I think a lot of our freedoms are being lost, and people that support him are going to come around and go, wow, I wish we would have known. And I think that people are going to be sucker punched.
We lost so much years ago. People are just starting to realize how much we really did lose.
Well, you know, that's a true enough statement. But what we didn't lose, what we didn't have, was we had institutions that did help. Like, you had a place to go to at least call and get some remediation. The fact is that we have these entanglements with corporations inside of our government. It's such a deep level. Maybe that's the issue, is that Trump just got the memo. Like, you can't change it up. Maybe that's what's causing his so-called flip-flops, is like he's gotten a little knock on the door. You know, like I used to say about Barack Obama, you want to be alive or you want to be rich? You know, you want to be rich or you want to be dead. I think that's the options that our presidents get, you know, and I feel that pretty strongly. Like, it's, I just hope that he, you know, doesn't drag us into war. I don't believe, I don't agree with the whole idea of dragging us into war at all, but that's kind of the inevitable. If you build them, they will come, right? So we need to be
prepared.
Remember,
put back to Kennedy's assassination. The president has always been a face. There's elitists behind it that push the buttons. And we knew that he was in for one big ride. And yeah, he's stepped on a lot of toes, and I'm sure he's gotten a lot of backlash. And he's regrouping. And I still look for a major shakeup.
What do you mean, a major shakeup? You don't think there's been a major shakeup already?
No, I don't think. I don't think we've even touched the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what I see in the environmental stuff, we haven't even begun yet. Mm. That's why I said just give him time. There's a learning curve, and there's a lot of communication going on. I don't even think shakeups come around yet.
Mm-hmm. You're not concerned about his connections and all of his backdoor ties to Russia, the fact that he won't give us his tax returns because he's likely engaged with that.
Tax returns have already been turned loose.
No, they haven't. That's not true. They have not been turned loose. That's not true. That's not a true statement. He has not released his tax returns. And he, in fact, is insisting that he's refusing to do it. While his major lieutenants that were throughout his campaign have been caught meeting with Russian spies. His Secretary of State was given an honor of medal from the Russians a few years ago, right after they sealed the deal for one of the biggest deals Exxon has ever closed, the day before Obama put its sanctions in. You don't think there's a backdoor deal to like lift the sanctions and allow Exxon to make boatloads of money?
No.
Oh,
he's
I
all about America first.
I think that is a huge lie. He's not about America first. Because if he had been about America first, he would have been doing things to help America a long time ago. This is where I think he's just a liar. He says he's going to help America, but he hasn't done jack to help America. Ever. He's had the means to help America in lots of ways. He lived in New York City, never once objected to stop and frisk. Never once set up organizations that would help the needy and the poor. I mean, he gets all of his stuff made in China. Like, he's not going to put Hillary in jail, which would have been really great if he would have really done that. And now he's not going after any of those people. You know, I mean, I think he talked his way into something that he is way over his head. And you're right, he has a learning curve, and he is who we have. For me, what I've seen of his wife is his saving grace. That's the only reason that I can halfway give him a chance, is because she's willing to put up with him. She hasn't left him. So that tells me that there might be something in his, you know, I mean, I just think that he's got big mind, big narcissistic mind, but little capabilities. I don't think he understands the gigantic big picture. I mean, yesterday, a few days ago, he was on there. He's like, yeah, well, we dropped a bomb in Afghanistan. Oops, I mean Syria. Like, what's he telling us what they're talking about? Fortunately, he's completely unselfconscious about himself and makes speaking errors that kind of lets us into the window of his mind. I mean, the idea that our president would just tell the generals, you guys go ahead, do what you think is necessary. We have the largest military of every country combined, practically, of all the major militaries combined. And we're just going to let a few men go do what they want, especially the man who raped, murdered, pillaged, and radiated Fallujah, and let people who mercilessly murdered off the hook. That's the guy, that's Mad Dog Mattis. I seriously disagree with those decisions. So,
well, do you disagree with doing nothing for the last 8 years, like this country did nothing on all the issues we had?
Look, I think that it's all run by the CIA. I think ISIS is a CIA-run activity. I think what we really need to do is stop funding. Do you know the CIA has unlimited funding? Unlimited, and they are accountable to nobody.
The CIA is the number one drug runner in the world.
Well, I think that's the issue. I don't think we bombed we didn't bomb Syria to do anything. Trump actually called them up and said, hey, we're going to be bombing you. They were able to move almost all their airplanes. Drone strikes have gone up by 300% in Yemen. We haven't even declared a war. I don't agree with the drone strikes at all either. But the reason we're dropping drones is because they're depleted uranium weapons. We can't send our soldiers in. So, you know, like, there's a lot of things that, like, it's business. This is what I mean. It's kind of just business as usual. It's not, all he's doing is digging in Wall Street so they can rape and pillage our country. I mean, this is probably one of the most egregious thing that I think is happens in his administration so far in the last 90 days that we've seen it happen. He has the United States taxpayers paying him for rent at Trump Towers, $1 million a year. Our FBI or the Secret Service rents an entire floor from him in the Trump building. When we go to Mar-a-Lago, we have to pay to use his facilities. Can you imagine if any other president would have said, yeah, we're going to charge you for being here when you go on your vacations, when you go home? I mean, he goes home every Friday or every other Friday, it looks like, to Mar-a-Lago. Not only do we foot the bill to pay for that, but we have to rent it from him. We rent the facilities from him. He's making money.
How about all the billions of dollars that Obama used up on his vacations?
No. We're not talking about using money to protect the president. We're talking about the President of the United States charging rent to the American taxpayers for the use of their facility. They're charging us like a private industry to the United States government. This is not like we're paying to go. I'm not talking about paying $1 million a day to protect Melania in New York. I can get over that. I'm not talking about spending several million dollars to protect his five kids or however many kids need to be protected. I mean, that just comes along with having a president with a big family. I get that. What I object to is us having to pay for rent to lease an entire, instead of him saying, this is my building, we need to have protection for my family, you guys can have the floor beneath us. He is charging the American taxpayers $1 million a year for rent in Trump Tower. At Mar-a-Lago, every time he goes there, we have to pay rent to him. We pay for that restaurant to, like the food that we gave to the Chinese president, that restaurant charged us their fees. He didn't give it to us at their cost. He didn't say, okay, you're going to use my private facility that I use to make money off of, so I'm going to give it to you at cost so we can have these state dinners. He's charging us a profit. I mean, this is where the emoluments, this is where these people are actually suing him under the emoluments clause. I mean, this is the interesting thing. I don't think he's doing it maliciously after watching him for a few months. I think he thinks that's reasonable. He doesn't have an education enough to understand the law. He has no concept of what the law really means. It's becoming quite evident. They run this place like it's a big banana republic. I mean, that's the thing. He's done exactly to the United States what Nixon did to Chile. You know, they installed a bunch of bankers, pumped up the military, and, basically start. I mean, honest to God, I bet Mike Pence would love a bunch of re-education camps even. But we'll see how it plays out. Fortunately, I think we have a strong enough. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what these American people are going to do? I don't know how it's going to play out. I just hope he doesn't drag us into war, because this is the issue. This is what's becoming evident. It is the military running our country. They're clicking their heels and saying Sieg Heil. Like, I don't know how you feel about that whole stupid manhunt yesterday about the man who murdered somebody on Facebook. I think that's all about, let's don't talk about the Russia connection with the Trump campaign. Let's find a new bad guy, you know? So I think that we're in for a big bumpy ride with these people, because I think Trump surrounded himself with people he thought he could trust. I don't think he's intentionally breaking the law. I think he just doesn't understand the law because he's bankrupted so many times. He thinks he can just bankrupt things and everything will be fine. That's not really how it works, especially when you're president of the United States. You can't bankrupt the country and everything will be fine.
This country was already bankrupt, and he buys bankrupt businesses and restructures them. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues, and this country's in big trouble, and everybody's going to have to back off and give the man a chance, because he's doing what he said he was going to do. I look for his team to take over a lot of the other little promises. I don't think your Clinton Foundation, I don't think it's done with. There's still ongoing investigations with it. There's a lot of people are being shuttled around, being restructured. I think we're in for, I don't think we've seen the iceberg yet.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I really do tend to agree with you. I mean, there's over 400 jobs at the State Department that are not even filled. They haven't even filled the seats at the State Department, which is an interesting statement if they think that that doesn't matter. And we have a lot of military bases around the country that are underserved now because of the way he's holding back. Like, it may all come together when it's all in. I mean, that's what I said, Chuck. I think that he didn't have a clear plan because he didn't understand how government works. He thought he could get in there and run it like a business. It's not like a business, because you're dealing with public works. You're dealing with people's lives. Like, you know, I mean,
you got to understand, we've got a cesspool We've got piranhas, and they're all fighting back to keep the corruption.
Yo, I do understand that, but don't you think he actually brought in more piranhas? Like, he brought in how many? I mean, Steve Mnuchin, who's running our Secretary of Treasury, lied on his application that he did not have Cayman Islands accounts. He lied. He did not put it onto his application, when on his information that he gave to Congress. Betsy DeVos, who has a horrendous record of gutting the schools in her own state and in New Orleans, where they have reversed and gone way backwards, now runs our Department of Education. And her brother is Blackwater. Her brother is Eric Prince, a murderer, who has to live in Dubai because he's under indictment in the United States. So I don't know how you can say he brought in good, honest people. Everybody that he brought in is dirty. There isn't a single clean person he brought in. Maybe Neil Gorsuch. I mean, Neil Gorsuch sides with the right all the time, but I don't think he's a disreputable man, to be honest. From everything I saw about him, I don't think he's a despicable character like some of the people he brought in, like the Secretary of Commerce, you know, the guy that sat on the Bank of Cyprus while Russia cleaned out all of its money. That guy is really dirty. There's a lot of really dirty people that he brought in. Mad Dog Mattis is another one. I mean, I don't get how we can bring in war criminals and call that a clean administration.
But we're not even on point of what we were going to do with the radiation and the cleanup, so.
True that. Well, you know what? That's the interesting thing. Nobody talks about it. And this is one of the things, I don't know if you experience this because you do talk about it, the eyes glazing over. Have you just like, I have had enough of people just acting like it doesn't really matter if we talk about radiation or not. I mean, the glazing over of people's eyes when you just even mention that Fukushima is still dangerous. Like, I'm on Instagram all the time, and I see pictures. Sometimes people post pictures of fish, like tuna and different fish and salmon. I'm like, how anybody can eat that stuff is beyond me. Like, and somebody asked me, how about this, Chuck? If you could get farm-raised fish, would you eat salmon if you knew for sure it was raised in a farm?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother. That's exactly where I'm at.
Farm-raised salmon is GMO salmon.
Exactly. Farm-raised salmon is GMO salmon. I mean, we're in big freak out here on the West Coast because of the salmon collapse. I mean, they have closed the salmon. In fact, it's not just salmon. There's no sardines. There's no anchovies. There is nothing up and down the coast, and people are still eating their seafood. They still want to go crabbing. I saw somebody post a picture of a big fat clam, or it looked like a clam or a mussel on the coast. And I'm like, people need to, even before Fukushima, you need to not be eating that stuff because it's super high in mercury, because they're bottom feeders. But it's unbelievable. So I think I hear Chuck taking a call. He's doing some business there, which is great. So let's talk about the Turkey Point thing.
Now, we're going to get into a little bit of a topic here. I don't know when the last time you was over there and seen any of the numbers. These numbers came out on April 8th. Have you been over there and looked at any of them since?
Where?
On my page.
No, since April 8th, I've been doing nothing but tax returns in schools. So let me just do that. I mean, it's all I can do to make this radio show 5 days a week. So no, I have not. I've been looking things up, but where do you get this from? See, this is one of the things that I have a hard time with when people post up radiation levels, is because I guess I got tainted because I know somebody who joined some type of a national network of people who post radiation. And this guy literally was so off the charts. He would do stupid things to make it look like the radiation rates here in Eugene were so high. Like, I'd be testing on my Geiger counter. We'd have like 0.18, 0.25. And he would put his Geiger counter on the pipe where the water was and in places where we know that they actually even use you know, like on his plumbing and stuff, so that the radiation levels at right where the rain was pouring down, he just exaggerated it. So it sort of tainted me to believe that it's actually, I don't know, valid. So I have a tendency to like not believe a lot of sites that say that there is high levels of radiation.
Well, these are total gross gamma, straight from the EPA website. And the gross gamma count. And this is also put up with Bob Nichols and what he's been doing. So,
April 14th, is that the one from Port Hope, Ontario? Is that the one? 5 to 10, 15 times normal limits? I'm on your page.
Well, first one is Colorado Springs at 12,421.
Wow. At
2,482.2 times normal.
Wow. Wow. That's well, you know, we have Matt Hellstrunk on the show. You know, he follows he follows the EPA and he graphs them. I don't know if you've talked to him directly, but he comes on the show. The last time he was talking about is how hard it is to read these rates and interpret them, because they basically withhold. When it gets really bad, they create big blanks, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I showed that in all the charts and graphs. During this particular weekend, I charted and graphed every monitoring station in the United States that reports radiation. There was only two locations that I could not get a chart and graph out of. Every other monitoring station in this country, I posted a graph chart for every location in the United States.
Wow. Well, we know that we're being fried. I mean, that's for sure. We know we're being fried. And the thing is, people don't even want to acknowledge it. But you see, this is the thing. It's not just the radiation. It's everything. It's the chemicals. It's, you know, it's not even just the air. It's our water. We know high levels of tritium is in our water. We know that the chemicals are everywhere. To just make the nuclear radiation, we have chemicals in the air too, along with it. So it's all of it. Like, it's the whole thing about the offense about our governments are spending billions of dollars on bombs and war, and instead of solving the solution of radioactivity. I mean, that's really what we need to do. Instead of dropping drones with depleted uranium on them, we need to figure out how to remediate this stuff.
When you can look at the fact that chemtrailing, aka geoengineering, had to step up their treatments because of Fukushima, because they've got binding agents in it to bring it down out of the atmosphere and put it on the ground. So we were dealing with the onslaught of geoengineering, aka chemtrail. We're dealing with the onslaught of the radiation. Then, because our soil is so fried with the chemical usage, now we have to put one chemical down to counteract the other chemical just to grow a crop. We have farmers going down with liver and kidney issues because of the chemical treatments. People need to realize that we've made this mess. It's man-made. It's man-created. Just like the climate change that they're trying to shove down us is man-made, it's created, and man's arrogant. And we need to get back to a simple solution of restoring everything back to a natural balance. And that's where Mid-America Land Restoration comes in, because we can do just that. You know, you said your garden's thriving, and even though you almost killed off that batch, but you got lucky.
I did. I couldn't. You know what? It was just because I had spent so much money getting it. I'm like, I'm just going to put this on. It has to have some nutrients. So what I did actually was I put some on my indoor plants. I didn't even address it because at the time there was like wet and snow and yuck outside, right? So, and I noticed that my indoor plants were like popped up, and the next week they just went boing. Like it was like, wow. So that's when I put some winter clothes on and went out in the garden and said, okay, I'm just going to pour this stuff on here. And one Saturday, I didn't even clean up my garden. I just poured the stuff on it, picked out the weeds, and went back in for the last few months. And now that the winter's practically over, I mean, it's astounding, like how my whole entire garden thrived during the winter, Chuck. It was really like, wow. I did not ex I have to say, you know, when you buy a product and you sort of expect it to do okay, but you don't really expect it to do great. That's what I was thinking. And this has just been amazing. It's been really amazing. So I'm a big fan of your product. And I think anybody who's really serious about gardening and wanting to really restore their land and keep themselves safe, this is definitely a product that they ought to purchase from you, to be honest. I would still love to figure out a way to get all your product on every single farm in America. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could sell it to the United States government? Have them
Too
subsidize
early
it?
to tell. I mean, in
Oh,
order to
man.
do that, we've got to get rid of Dow, we've got to get rid of Monsanto, and we've got to get rid of all these chemical companies that have their fingers within the EPA and the government.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen, Chuck. I mean, the DPA is, I mean, the Monsanto and all these horrible chemical companies, they are the government. It's a revolving door. I mean, I know Trump passed this thing that says that you can't go back and forth between government and there for so many days, but there's other ways around it. They can definitely, you know, they're figuring it out. That's the issue, is like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And it's, if it's all about, this is the downside, is it's all about money. You know, I have a client of mine that I had this conversation with 3 days ago. I asked him about Trump. He loves Trump. And I said, so Matt, what about your family? What about your girls? I mean, you're talking about a man who assaults women, like, and you know, he's gonna gut our country. Like he's going to destroy everything. Like in my view, I think he is going to destroy every. I think he is a game changer. Like he wants to change the game. He's going to destroy all our traditions. That's why he didn't have the Easter egg roll hunt on Easter, because he wants to destroy the tradition of it being on Easter. He destroys our traditions and he destroys our institutions so that they can remake it in a militaristic, authoritarian venue. And Americans have no, we're not even teaching civics to our teenagers. Kids coming out of high school have no idea what our Constitution means or what it says and what the
Yeah, I mean, for
foundation of this
years.
country is. Yes, I
It
know.
is
You
not for
sound like
years.
me. Yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. Not, I think Bush is the one who took civics out in 2006, out of his 2006 budget. He wrote it out. So that's been the, and then, you know, even before then, they had the politically correct language where all the books that, you know, like Uncle Tom's Cabin, anytime the school reads that book in a public school, they can't say the word nigger. Even though it's part of the book, they substituted it out for African American or black. It's astounding. Could you imagine doing that to Mark Twain's work? But that's what Bill Clinton did. So the assault on our country is everywhere.
You
So,
just look at what happened with the Confederate flag. That wasn't a racist. That flag was history.
yeah, but you know what? That is history, but it's the history of standing on racism, on institutional racism, which I really don't agree with hanging the Confederate flag over a state capital. I seriously disagree with that. I mean, that was the flag of rebellion. That was the flag of them. After the you know, after they lost, that flag comes down. It is part of history. It can go into a museum, but it ought not to be flown, and it ought not to be proud, because it speaks to institutional racism that still pervades in our country today. In fact, I mean, we have the disparity of, I had a guest on my show who talked about how capitalism thrives on racism. That's just how it
Well, that
works.
ought to be
It has
thriving
to have
pretty
the
good
other.
right now after the last 8 years.
Well, it is thriving pretty good. If you hadn't noticed, we're killing 800, cops are killing up to 700-800 people a year, unarmed people. A child got killed 2 or 3 years ago. A 10 or 12 year old child got killed by a man who was known to the police department to have trouble. And he did not get, he got indicted, but he did not even get, nothing happened to him. Nothing. Nothing happened. Impunity. Assault with impunity is what happens. And so I personally think that being a police officer is probably one of the most cruel jobs we can ask people in our current day. And I think they all need to have mandatory therapy, weekly therapy, to talk to somebody about what they've seen in the week before, because they see the worst of the worst. I don't demonize police officers. I just think they are not being well served by how the system is set up. And so, I mean, these are part of what we all have to, have a come to Jesus moment about what it really means to be an American. Are we going to be all, it's like people attacking Melania Trump. I mean, I find that so offensive, just as bad as it was when they were attacking Michelle Obama. Like, I don't know what it is with people in this country where they think they can have a free hand at attacking the first lady. All she is the carry along to the president. If you don't like the president, fine. But to attack the first lady is outrageous. I mean, to be honest, I find that extremely offensive. And as an American, as a matter of a point, I don't like Trump. I think he is, personally, I think he's a misogynist. I think he's an abuser. I think he is a narcissist, and he is dangerous. I think he is ill-informed and surrounds himself with people who tell him exactly what they want him to hear and not the truth. And he makes snap judgments based on that. I think he's lazy, ill-educated. I find him completely offensive. But he's our president. That's who we got for 4 years, man. That's the system. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to have to learn to deal with it. And I don't see any value in demeaning the first family. And if I do find it offensive, however, that he allows Ivanka Trump to sit in on... I mean, like today it came out that China approved her trademarks the day that she met with the Chinese president and sat in on some of their meetings. Now, that's collusion. That ought to be illegal. They're using their contacts within the United States government to enrich their family. Period. Openly. I mean, we know they all do it, but there's no semblance of, like, we're going to protect the American people first. It's all about them and them getting rich and their rich friends. I don't see how you can see it any other way, Chuck.
Just like you've got an itch for Trump, or my itch is to help people with the education of Fukushima, and we're back off point.
Well, you know why I have this itch for Trump? Because I think Trump is a threat to us telling the truth about Fukushima, because he is so militaristic. I mean, the threats against truth telling in this country are the assault is on. And I think that we're going to see a clamping down on any news on nuclear stuff at all. I mean, God forbid we have a huge catastrophe, a nuclear catastrophe somewhere in this country. And,
we had several instances right here in the middle of this country 3-4 weeks ago. So, with Wolf Creek right here in Kansas. So,
what happened in Wolf Creek in Kansas? What are you talking about?
Well, every reactor is still, we're overworked and out of date. And Wolf Creek in Kansas should have been shut down and been repaired years ago after a fire, and they've yet to do it. And they had another incident.
They've been having incidences. I mean, I was looking up the NRC event. There was a critical event yesterday at the LaSalle Power Nuclear Reactor. It was called a critical event. The actuation valves. I mean, they initiated a manual scram. A scram is a very scary, that's not like what it's supposed to be, which was followed by a turbine control valve, fast closure, automatic scram when the turbine tripped. When there's a scram, they release radioactivity into the air. That's the reality.
All these reactors are doing it, whether anybody wants to believe it or not.
That's right. That's right. Like even yesterday, there was that, when was this one? On 228, in Illinois, Dresden, Illinois, the nuclear power plant there. Duration of secondary containment, potential uncontrolled radiation release. That's how they defined it. I mean, that's what I was planning on doing if nobody called in. I was just going to read some of these nuclear alerts because I'm like, the meltdown is not going to be televised. In fact, I don't know if you agree with me, but I don't think we would know anything about Fukushima if it had not blown up. If those things had just gone into a meltdown where there was no major blow up or they could have contained it, I don't think they would have told us anything. But the fact is, we watched three nuclear power plants literally blow up. And now they're trying to tell us that these places have been remediated, that they are cleaning it up. And I read a report early this morning that Fukushima, that the buildings are actually starting to melt, that the wear and tear on the radiation is beginning to degrade the capacity of the steel. And there's some concern by scientists there that some of those buildings are just going to start collapsing and folding in.
Well, Ratchek's already proved that with all the planes and amusement parks.
The Wigner effect. Failure. That's right. Yep. Wigner effect, right. And that is Dr. Lauren Murray. She's the one who really brought that to highlight with her interviews with Ratchek. So it is actually very, very, very serious, you know. So, I mean, look, Chuck, while you're on the air, why don't you tell people how to find your website and how to get your product? For people who don't go to Facebook, how would they find you?
MidAmericaLandRestore.com. A lot of information in the main website. Left sidebar, you've got many different pages, as well as a direct contact page where you got an email or a list of phone numbers to reach out to me. And then Mid-America Land Restoration on Facebook. Underneath the pinned article, you'll find a lot of comments of programs that I've done in the last year, a lot of new programs that I've been doing in the last 6 months.
Right.
Been doing a lot of two-hour programs. So,
where have you been? On which shows? Which shows have you been on? Do you remember
anywhere
the names?
From Patriot with Mark Huffman to I've done some with Gil Slider. I've done some with Global Anonymous. There's a lot of
great. That's awesome. That's awesome, Chuck. That's so super awesome because you're getting the word out. We really need this information to get out. And the thing I like about your product and talking to you is about, yeah, it is catastrophic, but you do have a solution. So you provide a solution that, you know, and it helps people understand that we're not, I don't know about you, if you agree with me, but I actually sort of believe this is like part of the big plan. You know, I think that we're here, this is the thing about the school of God, right? Like, you don't fail the school of God. If you don't get the lesson, it just gets harder. And I think we, as a species, we have not gotten the lesson. So it's just gotten harder. It doesn't mean we have to give in and give up. So, well, look, Chuck, we have
a program here a while back with Lisa Wolf, and I said, I've been quite all over.
And those are all on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, look, we've got about 30 seconds left. So I want to thank you for calling in. You've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show and Chuck Hindman, who has called in today to discuss a variety of issues. And he just told you how to find him. I would encourage everybody to put your courage feet on, take action. Eyes to the sky, as my friend Glenn Woodford would say, because we're all we got, folks. So thanks, Chuck, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Okay, you guys. We'll talk to you guys later. And we got Heidi coming back on tomorrow. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care.